The Fleischmann G Star, presenting a variety entertainment directed by Rudy Valley.
My time is your time. Your time is my time. Hi-ho, everybody. This is Rudy Valley and Company. On our program of May 4th last, we introduced to the radio audience a young actress from the legitimate stage named Margaret Sullivan. On May 5th, Miss Sullivan left for Hollywood, where she played the lead in a movie called Only Yesterday. The picture opened in New York last Thursday. And on Friday morning, our Miss Sullivan was being hailed everywhere as a new star. She is with us again tonight. With her, we shall present Tony O'Selvart, a youthful German actor whose overnight success in the Broadway theater this season parallels Miss Sullivan's Hollywood history. In addition, we have with us a new singer, a new comedy team, a most remarkable boy musician, and an old favorite of yours. About the newcomers, more later. About the old-timer, the announcement of his name must recall the uproarious occasion of his last appearance here. His name is Tom Howard.
Summer is over, so is my dream of love. Each faded clover sighs to the gray above. I built a dream for us, a love dream intending to make it true, but you are only pretending. Summer is over, so is my dream of love. Beneath the moon, the silvery moon of June, a night of love, a kiss, a vow. I dreamed that you would be mine through eternity. 'Twas heavenly, but now summer is over. So is my dream of love. Each faded clover sighs to the gray above. I built a dream for us, a love dream intending to make it true, but you were only pretending. Summer is over. So is my dream of love.
Presenting Collins and Peterson. Marty Boisterous Collins and Harry Lotzenoise Peterson. Those two boys. Marty and Harry have been headlining the movie presentation houses for the last few years. They take a deep breath apiece now and charge into their first network broadcast. Alley-oop, give!
What's the idea of calling me a street cleaner? You going to stop this early in the evening? Calling me a street cleaner? Is that supposed to be a bright remark?
And how? Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just come up here to broadcast for my vacation.
Vacation, nothing. He's out of work.
Why don't you mind your own business?
I was on a vacation. I was out in Hollywood.
I was in Florida.
I was in Hollywood.
Come along, Florida.
I was in Hollywood.
I was in
Hollywood.
Florida.
Hollywood.
I won. What were you doing in Hollywood?
I got a job at Talking Picture. I'm a Talking Picture.
What picture? What picture? Name at least one picture that you were featured in, I dare you.
This'll kill you.
I'm waiting to hear it.
I'm playing the biggest picture playing on Broadway.
What picture is that?
Dinner at Eight. Dinner at Eight.
The idea of misrepresenting yourself up here. I saw the picture, Dinner at Eight. Pay $2.20 for my seat to see that picture.
All right, don't show off how much it's spent to see a picture.
Who's trying to show off?
Here's a guy worth about $2.20, loses $500 playing the horses.
What do I lose paying the horses?
$300.
How much did I lose?
$100.
What did I really lose?
I lost $1.25.
Getting back to the picture, Dinner at Eight, I saw the picture, Dinner at Eight. Saw every character in that picture of Dinner at Eight. Tell you something you didn't know. I saw the preview of that picture, Dinner at Eight. I did not see you in the picture.
But when you saw the picture, I had dinner at six.
Another one of your bright remarks.
And hello, I'm a wise girl.
You're a wise
girl. And oh boy, what women? What women to have out the Hollywood?
What do you know about women?
A whole lot. Look at the way women dress today.
I like the way the women dress today.
I like it too, but I can't afford it.
Take those shoes off, dig down, get that gold out. Didn't you ever hear of NRA? NRA? Be American, buy American.
I can't buy American.
Why can't you buy American?
I like French fried potatoes.
Oh, be American, buy American, buy. Now everybody's buying, it's in the air. Everybody's buying.
Yeah. Everybody's buying.
Everybody's buying.
But nobody's paying. We're talking about the women.
That's right.
Look at the married women.
You look at the married women.
Look at the gloves the married women wear.
What about the gloves?
18 buttons on one glove.
How many?
18 buttons on one glove.
18 buttons on one glove.
And the husband is home holding his pants up on a nail.
Don't encourage him. Don't laugh at those silly remarks. Don't laugh at those.
It hurts, doesn't
that
it?
Doesn't hurt.
That guy's
burned
up.
One of your bright remarks.
And her. I'm a white girl.
Speaking of women and ladies wearing apparel, I read in the papers the other day where all the girls in Hollywood, all the girls in Hollywood are wearing glass dresses.
What?
Does that interest you?
Oh, you have no idea.
Well, pay attention. All the girls in Hollywood are wearing glass dresses.
All the girls in Hollywood are wearing glass dresses?
Glass dresses?
Now?
No.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Where are you going?
I'm going to get a ticket and go to Hollywood.
You're going to Hollywood?
Sure.
Why, are you a glass blower?
Am I what?
Are you a glass blower?
No, I'm a window washer.
Don't encourage her, please. Don't laugh
at her.
That doesn't hurt.
Do that guy burn up.
Supposed to be a fast remark.
Oh, that isn't fast enough.
No, that isn't fast enough.
You're a fast guy.
Plenty fast.
One of those Broadway guys.
Now, wait a minute. I resent that. I'm not from Broadway. I'm from Chicago.
Chicago.
I'm from Chicago. Century of progress. They closed the World's Fair?
Sure.
I didn't know that.
They closed it.
Why?
Getting too cold for the sand dancers.
Don't laugh, please. Don't encourage him. He'll be out here all night.
That hurts, doesn't it?
That doesn't hurt.
Do that guy burn up.
Well, just the same, I'm from Chicago. Born and bred in Chicago. Born and bred in Chicago.
Well, you may be bred in Chicago, but you're only a crumb in New York.
Don't encourage him with that hand, please. Don't encourage him.
From Chicago?
Yes, sir, from Chicago.
Are you smart?
Yes, sir, I'm smart. 2 weeks after I was born, I talked.
Huh?
2 weeks after I was born, I talked.
That's nothing.
What do you mean, that's nothing?
Let me show you how smart I was when I was 2 years old.
You were smart when you were 2 years old?
Yeah, when I was 2 years old.
How smart were you?
When I was 2 years old, we lived next door to a blacksmith shop.
You lived where?
Next door to a blacksmith shop.
You sure you didn't live upstairs above the blacksmith shop?
No. The horses lived upstairs.
The horses were above you.
Oh, my God. We lived next door to this blacksmith shop.
Yes.
One day, I creeped into the blacksmith shop.
One day, you crept into the blacksmith shop.
No. I creeped into the blacksmith shop.
You crept into the blacksmith shop.
I creeped into the blacksmith shop.
I said you crept into the blacksmith shop.
Anyway. That is your way.
Very well. I thank you.
I creeped into the blacksmith shop. I picked up a red hot horse.
You picked up the red hot horse.
I was so smart.
Yes.
No one had to tell me to put it down.
Thank you.
Byron Gay originally wrote this song when visiting friends of mine up in the Cranberry Bog section of Massachusetts. I liked the idea, but I was afraid that it was just a bit too sectional, and suggested that he change the song so that it might apply to any lonesome individual anywhere at any time. Out of it all came Sitting in the Log, Petting My Dog. Sitting on a log and a-petting my dog, feeling blue as blue. Just sitting on a log and a-petting my dog, waiting for you. Now and then a lonely owl says, ooh. It seems to me that maybe he loves somebody too. What I'd give if we could live like the bees and the flowers. But instead, I go to bed only after hours and hours of sitting on a log and a-petting my dog, feeling blue as blue. Just sitting on a log and a-petting my dog, waiting for you. Sitting on a log and a-petting my dog, feeling blue as blue. Just sitting on a log and a-petting my dog, waiting for you. He sits up and lifts his paw, tries to kiss my hand. Guess that's the way he tries to say, I understand. Gee, it's tough to be in love and have no one near. Not a thing on earth to bring a little cheer. So I am here just sitting on a log and a-petting my dog, feeling blue as blue. Just sitting on a log and a-petting my dog, waiting for you. From the Theatre Guild's brilliant adaptation of Molière's play, The School for Husbands, a charming new singer and a charming old song. The singer, Parker Stewart. The song, Au Clair de la Lune, composed by Joseph Lully, musician to the court of Versailles in the reign of Louis XIV. In this quaint ballad, the Theatre Guild, much to its own surprise, has its first song hit. I think you will like Mr. Stewart's rendition as well as the audiences do at the Empire Theatre. It goes like this. Set the scene for this old tune, imagine if you please another June. A pleasant street in Paris you must see, with houses placed where houses ought to be. A lovely lady from her window spies upon the scene with anxious eyes. Piero.
I'm here.
My lady waits upon your song. Well, begin. Something wrong?
My song demands a full moon, baby.
A moon? We have one, ready made. Silver lady, chastely bright, rise, appear, and bless the night. Flood the world with tranquil light. Behold the moon, no extra fee. Lighting effect by NBC.
Oh,
Harvey and the very virile Lou Ayres, under the expert supervision of Buddy DeSilva, have made a most interesting and eye-filling spectacle of a most humorous wager in the Fox picture, My Weakness. Mr. DeSilva is responsible for perhaps the oldest, the oddest title you or I have ever run across. Alice Faye will sing it for you. Gather lip rouge while you may.
Gather lip rouge while you may, you never feel much younger. Why not appease that hunger while you may? Let yourself be led astray while you are still worth leaving. So many lips are pleading night and day. Buzz around as the busy bee does cobble ground. Work as hard as he does, time will fly. Wait and see, someday you won't be the bee that you used to be. When the right one comes your way, he'll never let you waver. You'll have to like one flavor. Gather lip rouge while you may. Gather lip rouge while you may. You never feel much hunger. Why not appease that hunger while you may? Let yourself be led astray while you are still worth leaving. How many lips are pleading night and day? Buzz around as the busy bee does cover ground. Work as hard as he does, time will fly. Wait and see, I know you won't be the bee that you used to be. When the light comes your way, I'm never. your new way. You have to like one thing. Gather the listeners while you may.
I now turn the microphone over to Dr. R. E. Lee. Dr. Lee.
To the Fleischman's Yeast Hour with Collins and Peterson, Parker Stewart, Tom Howard, Michael, Louis Jean Heit, Tony O'Selvock, and Miss Margaret Sullivan. Miss Sullivan is the young lady you are reading about these days, the newest movie star whose first picture opened this week at the Radio City Music Hall, created a sensation unequaled since Katharine Hepburn's debut. Miss Sullivan is the movie season's first great personal hit. Tony O'Selvart is the youthful hero of the current Broadway dramatic season, this year's Chevalier. He came to New York from Munich last winter, played small roles with Eva LaGallien last season, achieved a huge critical and popular success this year in the current hit, Pursuit of Happiness. We co-star Miss Sullivan and Mr. Selvart tonight in a one-act radio comedy adapted from Strictly Dishonorable by Preston Sturges, with Louis Jean Heit of the original company completing the cast. Mr. Selvart is presented by arrangement with Lawrence Langner.
The scene, an Italian speakeasy restaurant on West 49th Street, New York City. A small, quiet, comfortable room, almost deserted at this hour. Standing at the bar, talking to the proprietor, we see Gustav von Stone, a handsome young German actor who lives in the apartment above the restaurant. A man and a girl enter, are seated and served at a corner table. She is very young, very beautiful indeed. Our friend at the bar noticed this at once. As we fade up to the girl's table, her companion seems somewhat ill at ease.
Oh, what a lovely place, Henry. And look at that quaint little ball.
No, this isn't the place I thought it was. This is dead. I guess you got the cards mixed.
Oh, I like it here, Henry.
I tell you, if you saw the other place...
I don't even know the difference. You know I've never been in a speakeasy before. Now, I'm afraid if we leave this way, you just carry me home.
Oh, all right. But we'd be better off if we were home.
Oh, no, we wouldn't. You gotta have a little fun sometime.
What's the matter with home? Don't you like it there?
Of course I do, Henry.
Well, don't talk about it that way, then.
Oh, don't get angry, Henry. You never used to get cross so easily. Why, when I first knew you, were always smiling and sweet. What's the matter with you getting cross all the time?
You didn't think I was going to be as sappy all my life as I was when I first met you, did you?
Well, I hope so. You said you'd always be like that, and I'd learn to love you because you were going to be so good to me. You weren't just making believe, were you, Henry?
Of course I wasn't, but when a fellow's courting a girl, naturally he puts his best foot forward and puts up with a whole lot of nonsense he wouldn't stand for otherwise. Now, when I sell bonds...
You're not going to be nice to me anymore?
Of course I am, Isabel, but you've got to be more serious. Life is serious. You Southerners are all alike. You think the sun shines just to make a nice day for you to go picnicking. It doesn't. It shines to germinate the wheat kernels to make your bread. It shines so you can have vegetables, fresh squash, beans, spinach.
I hate spinach.
You don't eat the right food, but you will.
Yes, Henry, you're perfectly right. You're always off. I mean it, but sometimes I...
But sometimes you what?
I mean...
Sometimes you what?
Oh, I don't remember. Let's forget all about it.
Well, let's not. If you've got any private thoughts about me, I'd rather know them now, before we're married. If I had any private thoughts or criticisms of you, I'd tell you about them.
I'm sure you would, dear. You're so frank.
Well, you be frank, too.
Scooter, please.
What do you want?
The policeman outside. He'd like to see you.
Wants to see me?
Scooter, please. Your car, he says. It is parked in front of hydrant.
Oh, Henry.
All right. I'll see about it. These New York cops.
I beg your pardon? It is possible I could be of assistance.
Who are you?
You see, I live upstairs. I know this cop. He's a great friend of mine. I could speak to him for you, maybe, yeah?
Oh, nonsense. I can take care of myself.
Oh, Henry, how can you be so...
Now, Isabel, you wait. It'll only be a minute.
Fräulein, I'm very sorry.
You were very kind. And Henry was rude. Won't you sit down? I mean, until Henry comes back?
I hope you're so glad to, Fräulein. I've been looking at you and wishing...
I know.
And you did not mind?
Not very much.
You're very lovely.
Oh, you shouldn't say that.
Why not?
Because it isn't true.
But aren't you beautiful?
No.
Well. I love to talk with you because you're very ugly. Is that better?
Oh, I'm not so terribly ugly.
Aren't you?
No. I'll get by.
Really?
Yes. But I'm not beautiful.
To me, you're more beautiful than I could ever imagine anyone to be.
You shouldn't say that to me.
You're right. I shouldn't.
And I ought not to like to hear it.
No.
But I do. I'm being wicked.
May I kiss your hand?
I think you're a very bad man.
I? A bad man? But why?
Well...
Do you really dislike me?
I don't know. You're German, aren't you?
You're? How observing you are. Was your papa on the police force? A detective, maybe?
Oh, no. Papa never did any work. Work irritated Papa terribly.
But how did you live?
Plantation. Cotton, you know.
Oh, yes, I know. I know some plantation songs.
They're pretty, aren't they?
Oh, beautiful.
I love to hear the daughters sing them at night. Funny people. I haven't got anything, never did have anything, never will have anything, but just as happy. You ever been to Mississippi?
Mississippi?
Uh-huh.
Is it near Buffalo?
Oh, you've never been there. Oh, we used to have a nice place. And then, just when cotton got high, women stopped wearing underwear. Cotton underwear.
Did women wear cotton underwear?
Oh, yes. Silk underwear is immoral. At least, that's what Papa always said. He tried to get us all wear cotton stockings, too, but we wouldn't do that.
I don't blame you. You have a large family?
Oh, no. Just an ordinary family. 4 boys and 7 girls.
What?
Oh, that isn't large. Down home, when they raise families, they raise families.
And how?
Well, I don't guess they have much else to do. I wonder what's keeping Henry.
Oh, Henry. Are your brothers large?
No, they're not large. Why, the biggest one is only 6'2", and Charlie the baby, I don't think he's even quite 6 feet.
Oh, practically a midget, yeah?
Oh, no. But Papa always said he'd be puny.
Isabel! Just as I thought. So that's what you do the minute my back's turned, eh?
Please, Henry.
What a fine wife you'd make.
But Henry, I didn't do anything.
Oh, no. Maybe it isn't anything where you come from, but the women in my family don't pick up with drunken bums and eat in a speakeasy.
Just a minute.
Yes, and I'll tell you something, you big hiney.
Then please don't hesitate.
If there weren't so many friends of yours around here to stick knives in my back, I'd give you something to remember me by.
Henry, you...
Come on, get your things together and let's get out of here. Do you hear me? Get your stuff together and come on, or I'll...
You what?
I'll teach you to behave like a little...
You what?
You heard me. I'll give you one more chance. Now snap into it and come on. You can stay here for good.
You can't talk to me that way, Henry Green. I'm not going.
You understand what this means? If you don't come now...
I understand.
I won't come back.
I know everything you're thinking, but I haven't any money to go home with, and my mother hasn't any to send me. Well, that's all right. I'm glad. I can manage without you. Now take your ring. Take it, I say.
Now, wait a
minute. Now go back to West Orange and tell them about me. But I wasn't good enough for you. And while you're at it, you can tell them I'd rather scrub floors than be married to such a gentleman.
Yeah, and it'd suit you better, too. You and all the other lazy white trash like you.
Thank you, Henry. Well, now I've done it.
I'm very sorry. I feel so guilty about this. Oh, don't be unhappy.
Who's unhappy? Do you know, there's been something the matter with me for months. And I just this minute found out what it was.
What was it?
It was Henry. Entirely too much Henry. Oh, and that family in West Orange. Oh, Lordy, give me a drink.
Isabel? May I call you Isabel?
Uh-huh.
Can you possibly forgive me? I'm terribly sorry for you, but very happy for me. To think you're alone with me. Do you know that you are adorable?
Am I?
Yes. I'm going to kiss you. You're very exciting.
You're very convincing.
But now, where are you going for tonight?
Oh, I don't know.
You must stay here. I mean, I hope you will accept my hospitality. Until you find what you wish to do.
Oh, but have you room for me?
Certainly. In my living room, there's a divan so comfortable, so embracing, so soft. It longs for somebody to repose on it.
Somebody like me?
Nobody else, Isabel.
But I don't want to be any bother.
You bother? Liebling, will you be my guest?
You're so different from Henry.
Yeah, I hope so.
What are your intentions toward me?
Strictly dishonorable, Isabel.
Tom Howard, with his skillful assistant, George Sheldon. The last time we had Tom on our show, he was what the boys call terrific. I suspect that many of our listeners tonight remember that occasion. This is the first chance we have had to bring Tom back. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Howard.
Well, hello, Tom.
Yeah, horse. I'm horse.
Say, do you know, Tom? It's some time since I've seen you.
Why did say, George?
I said, some time since I've seen you.
Maybe it's all for the best in your house. You can't tell.
Boy, you look nifty dressed up.
Yeah, you don't look bad yourself. You have.
Oh, I feel good, too.
I got a brother's an undertaker.
I'm not an undertaker.
What?
An undertaker.
You look good, George.
I know I do. You got that coming?
Yeah, I got a cigar for you.
Oh, thanks. I'll smoke that after dinner.
Why'd you say, George?
I'll smoke it after dinner.
Yeah, smoke it now. You won't want any dinner, George. Now,
say, where'd you get that flower from?
Oh, do you like that?
Oh, that's marvelous.
Yeah, I think it gives you sort of an individual touch.
Yes.
You think, huh?
It does.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
I got it down the street.
Down the street?
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of them hanging on a guy's door. Do you like it? Smell it, do you like it?
Yeah. A whole bunch of them hanging on a guy's door.
Yeah, smell it?
Mmm, good.
Yeah.
Say, are you working now, Tom?
Oh, yeah, sure, I'm working.
Don't tell me that you're still dying.
No, I ain't dying anymore.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
No.
Where are you working now?
I got fired, you know.
You got fired?
Yeah, the boss fired me. Yeah.
The boss
he didn't like the way I died, you know.
He didn't like the way you died?
No, he fired me.
Well, what was the matter?
Well, you see, he caught me laying down on the job, you see?
Caught you lying down dying?
Yeah,
I don't suppose you could die lying down.
Well, you could, but you can die better standing up.
Forget about it. Don't start that over again now. Where are you working now?
I'm working in a domino factory.
Domino factory?
Yeah, you know, I paint the dots, you know, on a domino.
Oh,
And the double threes.
And the double sixes?
Yeah, I do that now.
Well, why aren't you working today?
They're making blanks today. You see, I don't work on this thing.
I knew I'd step into that one. Yeah, blanks. Yeah.
Next week, I go back to my old job.
Back to your old job?
Yeah,
huh?
Where I was for years.
What place is that?
I have in a nut and bolt factory. You know?
Nut and bolt
yeah,
factory?
Yeah, working in a nut and bolt factory.
What are you doing in a nut and bolt factory?
Nothing, you see. Yeah. I have been there for a long while.
Wait, what do you do?
Nothing.
And they pay you for that?
Oh, sure. You don't suppose I do nothing for nothing, do you?
They're going to find out about that, and you're going to lose your job. It won't last long, I'll tell you.
What are you talking about? The last time I was there, 5 years.
What were you doing then?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Sure.
You mean to stand there and tell me for 5 years they've been paying you for doing nothing?
Certainly. What do you think?
Does the boss know that you're doing nothing?
The boss watches me sometimes.
He watches you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The boss likes to see me do nothing.
What, are you his pet or something?
No.
He likes to see you do nothing, huh?
He says I do nothing faster than anybody in the factory.
You do nothing faster than anybody in the factory.
Yes, sir.
How much do you get?
Oh, well, that all depends. Yeah, I'm working piecework.
Piecework doing nothing.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, that's better that way.
Oh, I imagine it would be much better that
you're
way.
You're your own boss.
Yeah,
you know, huh?
Yeah.
You can quit when you want to.
You quit?
Yeah.
Seems to me you haven't started to work yet.
Oh, yes.
How do you quit doing nothing?
Well, I just look up at the clock, 5 o'clock, wash my hands, go home. That's always good, see?
Oh, I suppose your hands get very dirty doing nothing.
Well, it ain't exactly a white-collar job.
No, I can see that.
Sure.
I'd like to get a job there myself.
Oh, you couldn't do it.
Why not?
You couldn't do nothing.
Why not? Why not? Why couldn't I?
It took me 2 years to learn how to do nothing.
2 years to learn how to do nothing?
Lord,
listen,
yeah.
I've been doing nothing all my life, and nobody ever taught me.
Oh,
I've always been idle.
Well, you're the idol of the family, baby. I don't know that, you see.
All right, I'd like to come down and talk to your boss sometime when he's doing nothing.
No, don't come down when he's doing nothing. Yeah. He's busy then. You can't see him then, honestly, no. Wait till
he's busy doing nothing, huh? Yeah. All right, I'd like to come down
and talk to him.
I'll be glad to.
Sure.
What is the boss's name?
Who? The boss is...
The boss, the man you're working for.
Yeah, I told you.
You did not. You asked me his name.
Why should I? I know it.
What is it?
Who?
The boss. Who is the boss?
That's right.
What's right?
Watt is the shipping clerk. You see, Watt is the shipping clerk.
Who is the shipping clerk?
No, who is not? Who is the boss?
Listen here. I know that, Tom. I'm trying to find out from you.
What I'm trying to tell you.
You're not telling me a thing. You keep asking me questions all the time. You certainly do. Now, don't you ask me. I'll ask you all the time.
All right.
Now, calm yourself.
I'm calm.
Say you've got a boss.
Exactly.
Do you like your boss?
Well, boss is low, yes.
Well, then, all right. Now, when you come into work in the morning, do you call your boss something?
Oh, yeah, but we don't let him hear it.
Oh.
What?
I know. I don't mean call him names or anything.
Oh,
I mean, when you come in the morning, don't you say, good morning, Mr. So-and-so?
Why should I? Mr. So-and-so's the janitor. Why do I call
him? I am not asking you a thing about the janitor. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Forget about the boss and everything else. Has the boss a first name?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right.
Sure.
Now, do you ever call him by his first name?
Oh, yes, sure. All right,
calm yourself.
Yeah, sure.
I want to know, what is the boss's first name?
No, what is the shipping clerk's last name?
Tell me the boss's first name.
Izzy.
Izzy who?
That's right.
I don't understand a thing. But you can answer me this one thing. Now, before you go any further, what I want to know is, I don't want to know nothing about the boss. I've been doing nothing all my life, but perhaps you do it differently.
Well, I like a bench. You see, I have a bench. See? Yes. On the left, there's a bunch of bolts. There,
bolts?
You know, and on this side is a lot of nuts.
Yeah.
I pick up a bolt on this hand, and I take a nut in this hand. I put the nut on the end of the bolt.
Then what?
That's nothing.
Oh, you mean nothing.
Yeah.
N-U-T-T-I-N-G.
Yeah, yeah.
Why won't you speak English? That's the whole trouble with you.
I don't do it in a suit.
Yeah, but do you do nothing in that suit?
Oh, that's right. No, it's a Sunday suit.
Oh, your Sunday suit,
yeah.
Huh?
Sunday school.
Hmm. Oh, you go to Sunday school?
Oh, yeah, well, I got the nickel.
The nickel? What do you mean, the nickel?
You know, for the box.
Oh, for the collection.
Yeah.
That's nice.
You put a nickel in the box.
Yeah.
You know, the man that passes the box in our Sunday school?
Yes.
Only got one arm. That's a good idea.
That is a great idea.
Well, yeah. I wonder how they figured that out.
I don't know how they figured that out.
I don't know, Tom.
Listen, well, so every Sunday I go down to Sunday school.
Yes.
We learn there.
Yes.
We learn the Bible.
You understand the Bible?
Oh, yes.
All right. Yes. Give me a quotation from the Bible.
The quotation?
Yes.
Well, Judas went out and hung himself.
That's very good.
Good.
Very good.
Sure, I know it all.
Give me another one.
Go out and do likewise. You like that?
No. Now, let's not get personal.
No, no.
Ah, no, but you gave me a funny look when you said that.
No, you always had that look, George. You always had that look.
All right, never mind. All right. Here, now, you understand the Bible?
Yeah.
Do you know who built the ark?
No.
That's right.
What?
I said, that's right.
Where are we at now?
I asked you, did you know who built the ark?
Well, I'm sorry, I had to answer you that way.
You answered me in the affirmative.
What?
You said Noah built the ark.
I know, I can't help it if I don't know.
That's right, Noah did build the ark.
Oh, Noah.
Noah.
Oh, Noah, I got Noah built the ark.
Noah built the ark.
I didn't even know he had the contract
for it. Yes. Now, Noah had three sons.
I knew he had a daughter.
A daughter?
Yes.
He had no daughter.
Oh, who is this Joan of Arc?
Oh. That's another family.
Oh, another family, yeah.
Noah had three sons.
Yeah?
Ham, Shem, and Japheth.
Yeah?
Now, who's the father of those three boys?
Wait a minute. Ham, don't tell me.
I won't tell you.
Ham, Shem, and who is the father? They got a father.
Certainly they got a father.
Sure, they got to have a father.
Yes.
Yeah, we can't let them run around without a father.
No, no, no.
Ham, Shem, who is the father? Japheth.
No. Here, I'll make it a little simpler for you.
All right.
Now, you see Rudy Valley standing back
there. Oh, well, I know Rudy.
Yeah.
I see him when I come in, didn't I do that?
That's right, you should be. All right, now, Rudy has three sons.
Yeah.
See, he has
you're
three sons.
I didn't know that either. Are you sure of that?
No, I don't know. I'm just using
that as an awful assertion to make it.
I don't know whether Rudy...
You could get in trouble.
No, no, I'm just using Rudy as an example.
Oh, I see.
Now, Rudy has three sons.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yeah.
Now, who's the father of those three boys?
Now, give me time to get this out. Tom, Dick, and... Ham, Sam, and Jeffers.
No! Rudy Valley.
What is... Think of that.
Certainly. All right. Now, Noah had three sons.
Yes.
Ham, Shem, and Japheth.
Right.
Who's the father of those three boys?
Rudy Valley.
Oh.
Irving Caesar, whose astonishingly perfect lyrics for Tea for Two, Mr. Gershwin's first popular song, Swanee, and many, many other popular tunes, has now turned publisher on his own. This is one of his best recent efforts, When I Go Home. Whippoorwill is sure to trill as I come walking up the hill when I go home. I know that I won't need a key, the gates will open wide for me when I go home. And when the jam comes off the shelf and there I am, I'll be myself just as I used to be. I'll fall into an easy chair, and while I take it easy there, the world will smile for me. The willow tree will weep no more, the ivy peeped inside my door when I go home. The neighbors all will call and say they hope that I've come back to stay when I go home. I'll tell them that my roving days are over. I say there is perhaps to sleep with Rover, but that's provided she is there, that angel with the silver hair, when I go home.
willow tree will weep no more. The ivy peep inside my door when I go home. The neighbors all will call and say they hope that I've come back to stay when I go home. I'll tell them that my roving days are over. I'll stay there if I have to sleep with Rover. That provided she is there, that angel with the silver hair, when I go home.
The principal aims of this program is the discovery of new talent. Tonight we present a boy musician whose background and abilities warrant a prediction of great success. He plays the piano accordion. He is 17 years old. His parents and his grandparents were stage people. When he begins his professional career after graduation next June from Erasmus High School, he will be billed as Michael. He is going to play for us Overture Trieste, composed by his teacher, Pietro Diero, a name which will bring a thrill of recognition to old-time variety fans. This is Michael. Many of you asked for it, but here it is again. I hope you like it as well as the repetition as you did the first time. Walter O'Keefe's The Man on the Flying Trapeze. Once I was happy, but now I'm forlorn. Like an old coat that is tattered and torn. Left in this wide world to weep and to mourn, betrayed by a maid in her teens. Oh, this maid that I loved, she was handsome, and I tried all I knew how to please. But I never could please her one quarter so well as the man on the flying trapeze. Oh, he floats through the air with the greatest of ease.
the daring young man on the flying trapeze. His actions are graceful, all girls he does please, and my love he has stolen away. He'd play with a miss, like a cat with a mouse. His eyes would admire every maid in the house. Perhaps he is better described as a louse, but still people came just the same. He'd smile from his bar on the people below, and one night he smiled on my love. He blew him a kiss, and she hollered, "Bravo!" as he hung by his nose up above. With the greatest of ease, the daring young man on the flying trapeze. His actions are graceful, all girls he does please, and my love he has stolen away. One night to his tent he invited her in, filled her with compliments, kisses and gin. That started her off on the road to ruin. She made the supreme sacrifice. Yet though I loved her, I said, "Take my name, I'll gladly forgive and forget." He rustled her bustle, and then without shame, she said, "Maybe later, not yet." The daring young man in the flying trapeze. His actions are graceful, all girls he does please, and my love is stolen away. I wept and I whimpered, I simpered for weeks, while she spent her time with the circus freak. The tears were like hailstones that rolled down my cheeks. Alack and alas, on Alaska, I went to this fellow, the blackguard, and said, "I'll see that you get your deserts." His thumb to his nose, he put up with a sneer. He sneered once again and said, "Nay!" She waited for. She said, "I would know you by the blue in your eye. Checkered suit, a fancy vest, and polka dot tie. You answer to that description, so I guess that you're the guy." Well, Annie doesn't live here anymore. Annie doesn't live here anymore. It's too bad you didn't call before. Next week, another fine radio program, we hope. Another fine show on the Fleischman G-Star. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.